Imagine you woke up this morning and your business just vanished. Welcome to Survival Mode, a podcast that explores how entrepreneurs handle hard decisions in times of crisis. I'm Matthias, and together with Digital Switzerland, we explore what it means to have a hard pivot, go through rapid scaling, or put your startup into hibernation mode. What do you do if you move from one crisis to another? In this episode of Survival Mode, Cyrus Fassell, CEO and founder of Swissborg, elaborates how the ICO and Corona crisis affect the crypto and blockchain sector, how the different markets reacted to COVID-19, and what we should take out of this as humanity. Swissborg is a Swiss blockchain platform that lets you trade and manage your favorite cryptos by connecting multiple exchanges on one platform. Good. All right. Such a pleasure. I'm here with Cyrus from Swissborg on this episode. And Cyrus, could you tell me a little bit more about yourself? What are you doing? What are you all about?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Matthias, for being on the show. I'm really excited about it. Who am I? I'm a Swiss-Iranian guy that has been working 10 years in finance and then decided to jump in the rabbit hole of blockchain and the idea is to create a new financial era, and that's what we're doing. We're doing that for now 4 years, and it's a challenge every day to discover new things and new people and new systems and new amazing products, essentially.
I can imagine. So, I was not as intense in the whole blockchain crypto space as you, but I was trading a little bit myself. So what I think is interesting, you went through quite a from ICO to a more less ICO phase. How was that for you? That was a kind of a crisis itself as well, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. That, you know, behind every big idea, there's always this crisis, right? And and what that crisis means is that there's, you know, essentially people become very enthusiastic about the idea. Someone buys into it, and then little by little, it becomes a bubble. And then, you know, every market is irrational. So it goes from I love you to I hate you. And I love you period was a very interesting 2017 where everyone was going to change the world with just a smart contract to 2018 where it's like, yeah, this shit is useless. And I think so, you know, the interesting part is that, you know, I think so when you look deeply into the technology and the philosophy and how this could potentially change the world, I think so it's not going to happen in 1 year. It's not going to happen through revolution, but it's going to happen through an evolution. And that evolution has taken place already 10 years ago. And now gradually, you know, it's getting in place where there's better products, there's better services, there's regular regulatory out of it. And Switzerland, you know, it's, I think so, one of the mother earth of blockchain, because when you think about it, Switzerland first, direct democracy, it's the only real democracy in the world when you think about it. Blockchain is the same thing. It's taking out the intermediaries, having this direct democracy, doing referendums such as is done in Switzerland. And I think so the other reason why Switzerland has been embracing it, not because, you know, I think so we're one of the greatest tech, let's say, country in the world, is the fact because, you know, Switzerland, again, is decentralized. And blockchain is decentralized at the same. So I think so that was the reason where, you know, a lot of activity came here and all this crypto valley, you know, came up. And now it's a little bit different because people don't talk about it anymore. It's not like when I take a Uber taxi, it doesn't talk about Bitcoin anymore. Well, back in 2017, you will be talking about this. And now it's more people that are not into that crypto phase. I want to buy Bitcoin at 1,000, selling at 1 million, but more on how could this actually, you know, change industries and make a better world.
I can imagine. I mean, the whole thing was a little bit, how do you say that, the hype cycle on steroids, right? We went from little to amazing everything, and then now it's like in this valley of tears or something.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's the same thing. Technology doesn't change the world. You know, education with technology, but more importantly, with great products changes the world, right? We never know what's the SMT protocol or whatever email protocol or how really illiteracy works. But if you put a nice lamp to it and you say, switch on the light with that button, you're going to do it. Same for the email. And we haven't seen so many great products with the great user experience and real use cases of you know, blockchain to actually change the world. And we have seen it slowly now. And I think so things are getting less confused and less scammy as well, because there's a lot of people that, you know, were in the business for the wrong reason. I think so.
No, I agree. I agree. So you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you did an ICO when it was still possible, right? A successful one?
Yeah, that was amazing. Actually, when you think about it, it's completely crazy. A young startup not getting any funding in Switzerland for different reasons to go to 1 year later and having 52 million Swiss francs in an ICO with, more importantly, 24,000 people contributing and 149 countries. So that means literally every country in the world has a token holder from our network. And yeah, that was an amazing thing. It's still possible. I mean, there's still ICOs going on. Some of them are successful. I would just think that the main difference is that back then, you know, there was such a bullish tendency that everyone would believe anyone for no reason. But now if you look at the stats, so these are now real data. Is it good to invest in ICO or not? A lot of people always ask me that question. Out of 10,000 projects, do you know how many have actually listed their token?
A good question. I guess not too many. Or did they? I have no clue.
Very small. 300. Out of those 300 projects of ICOs, only 50 actually have released products. And I'm not saying because they stole or they were scammy or whatsoever. There's probably a small percentage of that. It's just that, you know, the success rate of a startup after 2-3 years is very low. And especially if it's regarding emerging technologies, you know, and which are not backed by, you know, VCs or backed by, you know, institutional money. It's really hard to, as a youngster, to graduate or not graduate from a school, set up, do an ICO, then scale your product. It's really complicated. But there's a few of them, you know, that like us, I think so, we're doing a good job. And those are being quite successful too. But it's been quite a crazy craze. The big events don't happen as the same way. There's no more champagne or whatsoever in all these parties. There's only guys with glasses. There's no more women. It's just really, you know, it's like a real tech conference. It's not those old, nice, you know, banking almost type of parties they used to have. That's for sure.
Yeah, it definitely happened, right? Like if you look at it, it just went over. Other industry, it took like 10 years and then the whole crypto space, it just went over in 2 years, basically all of it from super high to
super depressed. But that's what he's saying. Crypto, everything is seven times dog years. So, you know, when you spend like 1 year in crypto, it's like 7 years in the regular market.
I agree. So, I mean, you were coming from that sector. It was kind of already, so you went already through kind of a sector crisis, I could say. And now we went to a more broader Corona crisis. What was the difference or how was that for you?
So the first thing, I think so what we're lucky is that like almost one third of Swissborg employees are remote. So the biggest office is in Lausanne. That's where the HQ is. Then we are in Toronto, London. In Estonia to some extent now, and mainly other people are remote. So we already had this culture of remote. We've been very much inspired by what GitLab has put in place, GitHub as well. And these guys only work pretty much with distributed teams. So the first phase for us was okay. We're just used to communicating through, you know, the different other technologies that enables you to track people, you know, Slack, Trello, or Jira for the tech team whatsoever. So it was quite easy. However, we were about to launch our wealth app, which was literally what we promised 2 years ago during ICO. So this has been like the main product. You know, we had road shows everyone in the world and this all that. And now that it's 2 months later, you know, during the things like, okay, we just have to do it as it is. But then it was a little bit weird because it's a little bit like we say in French, baby blues. I don't know if you say this in English as well, but it's basically in English, I think. So which is like, you know, you just have your kid and you should be partying or happy or whatever. And you're actually doing it's a little bit the opposite because you didn't really being able to, to share with a colleague, do that high five or do that. So it was a little bit awkward moment. And now I think so we're getting back to like, okay, next phase, let's, you know, launch more features and more. So it was not that easy for some, and for some, I think so it was easier. Some people don't really like so much people anyway, so you'd rather be at home, work more intensively. The third case for people was really hard. I think so is all our colleagues that have young children.
Yeah,
that's kind of two startups at the same time, right? You have, you know, you have two kids at the same time, you have to handle a startup. Those are being really the people that I think so are really tired right now.
I agree. So how is it if you look at the whole wealth industry? I mean, the markets went down, people were getting scared or were less attracted to investment. How did that tackle your Swissborg or your product?
Yeah, I think so. So we do only crypto, right? We do fiat and crypto. We don't do stocks or bonds or things like that. We will eventually do that, but that will be at a later stage. So Bitcoin at first, when the markets collapsed, Bitcoin collapsed as well. And that sucked because you always say that Bitcoin is a safe haven. And then you're like, okay, well, the markets collapsed 20%, Bitcoin was 30%. You're like, okay, that's not really a safe haven for me. But then you look at gold, which is a safe haven, has lost as well. So in the first case, everyone was a little bit pissed off, I think so. And then, you know, Bitcoin got backed, it's been rallying quite well. And, you know, the fact that a lot of Hong Kongese people got like these financial stimulus packages for not for the individuals. And a lot of people in the States last week got $1,200 as well. A lot of that money actually went into Bitcoin. They're like, you know, I mean, whatever, this system's not working. I don't believe in dollars being printed like $1 million every second. So let's actually at least go in a store of value. And I believe Bitcoin is one of the best ones. So there's both sides. You know, there was a negative side, then a positive side. And now it looks like, you know, as there are other things that are happening in the Bitcoin market and crypto in general, is there's a lot of positive news. So we've seen people picking up on fintechs in general, and even more on let's say crypto. So it's quite a favorable sign, actually.
How do you see this? Because that was always discussed, this correlation between, or this, how do you say it, this anti-cyclic behavior of Bitcoin to the main market or gold to the main market. And this time it was different, right? So gold went down, pretty much everything went down. How do you explain that? Or what was the trigger for it?
So Bitcoin was usually, you know, I had different scenes of last 10 years, let's say, and everything's related, you know, correlated to some extent to Bitcoin, especially in bear markets when markets essentially collapse. So, you know, and it's an infancy, it was mainly just a product. There was some stipulation, but it was really more about a product. And then it evolved, you know, for people got into to Bitcoin because they wanted to make profit as well. And let's say since late 2017, when futures really take part of this new market, it became a financial instrument for the good and the bad, which means that futures where you have 100 times leverage, so if you put $10,000, you essentially have $1 million, which that is a lot. And if you have $1 million, that means you have $100 million actually in notional. So you can move the market very rapidly. And this is exactly what happened. On Sunday, no one was really trading. Every few guys were on BitMEX, and they, you know, essentially they shorted the market. And then you have option calls, that is margin calls that actually happen. And then the whole market collapsed. Then everyone panics on Monday and sells everything. And that's what really happened to it. And then people, you know, realize like, okay, this thing's not collapsing. It's just futures, you know, just few institutional guys that didn't believe in it and, you know, made a good killing out of it. But now we're back, you know, at higher peaks than actually before Corona. So I think so in general, people are going okay about it.
Cool one. So if you look a little bit beyond or for the future, how do you see Swissborg evolve? How do you see the whole crypto space evolve in one extent?
Yeah, I mean, on a macro perspective, what I really see, I mean, Yeah, the great thing about this pandemic, it really shows that, you know, it's planet Earth. You know, I don't come from Switzerland. I don't come from originally from Iran or from France or whatever. I come from planet Earth. And it is. We usually used to say in the markets, when the Americans sneeze, everyone catches cold. Well, now it's like, it looks like it's the Chinese. When they sneeze, everyone catches cold. And it really shows that whatever repercussion you have on Earth, it goes to the neighboring country. And I think so, you know, especially our generation, we believe in this borderless type of way of living. We believe in decentralization. And, you know, we believe that all the economy, but everything is related, right? If I'm polluting in Switzerland, you know, it's not going to be good for the Italians or the French. And regardless where you're on planet Earth, eventually you'll feel it. So this is very good for crypto, because crypto is borderless, it's transparent. It has no color, has no feel, and it's decentralized. And I think so that is a very good model. It shows that, you know, we are one country at the end, or one planet Earth at least. So I think so that's something that's really good. I would say more on a micro level, I think so, you know, the good thing about crypto is that it has its own culture, right? And despite wherever countries you are, you have that thing that's coming on and on and on. And we have this crypto nation thing going, you know, we talked about it in Switzerland, but it's not a Swiss thing, to be honest. The crypto activity in Switzerland is mainly, you know, actually foreign companies that do business here, but it's not so many about Swiss itself. So I think this crypto nation is growing. That's great for us. We're seeing more and more stable coins arriving, you know, on the stable coins. For those who don't know it, it's essentially crypto that is backed by, you know, monetary, you know, regulated monetary francs or dollars or whatever. So it's a great way for people to unbank, to actually start doing payments without having bank accounts. So we're seeing these trends growing more and more, and with Libra and different big players, and it's here to stay. So I think so, you know, that for Swissborg in general and crypto, and I think so, it's amazing. It's just, we know by confirmation that today, thanks to Corona, we're one planet. And more importantly, that geopolitics and the economy, it's not doing very well. I mean, you know, I was just reading a post today. You know how much Jeff Bezos has made since the beginning of January, since this crisis, essentially?
60 billion or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, how the fuck is that possible? How can you downturn markets making like whatever, even a positive? That really shows that this gap, this economy is really tricking the world, where you're servicing investors and not actually consumers. So if you're an investor, that's great, but that's 0.1% or 1% of the planet. You're making rich people richer. And I'm not against rich people. I'm just saying that 99% of the other people should actually touch on that. And that's how you should really preserve wealth. So as this market is growing, it's just bailing the wrong people out, and helping the stimulus package is only helping the very preserved people, and that all the rest essentially are doomed to essentially not get anything. And crypto, I think so, that's not the case. Anyone can participate in it, anyone could take action in it. And obviously there's gonna be a lot of lousy investments that you could do, but you know, at least you could get access to it. And there's probably a high like chances, if you're well diversified, to make a killing, I believe, in crypto. And
I mean, it's interesting. I think the US is always an interesting example. If you look what happened the last 10, 20 years, I mean, as you mentioned, the rich get definitely richer, and the poverty line is around 20%. So around 20% of the US people live beyond poverty line, which is crazy for a Western world country in a way. What I like to pick your brain a little bit, and you mentioned as well, I think I read a post as well about Amazon, like, and he'd say pretty much if Jeff Bezos would have asked Trump what the best thing would be to push Amazon, that would be this crisis, because all the competition was forced to shut down.
Exactly.
And the only player in the market still open is pretty much Amazon.
Exactly. And this is not changing. This will literally, this oligopoly situation that we'll have will be led very soon by a few companies. You know, it's finished. Back the old days, Warren Buffett saw the world. I mean, who cares? This guy's over. It's only tech giants that are leading the market. And And some of them have good faith, I'm not saying, but some of them don't. And these corporates will eventually take over countries' GDPs. That's going to be very different. And that's why I'm saying Libra is a great thing for crypto. I'm not 100% sure it's a great thing for the world. On the long run, I'm not 100% sure, because it could be extremely dangerous that if it's, if you're connected to one currency that is dictated by one social media, it could be extremely dangerous.
That's a big discussion as well. I think the concept of Libra, I like it a lot. The people behind Libra, I question a lot as well, since if you especially look at Facebook, I mean, that is, for me, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Google as well, are probably the big winners of the crisis. And they all have a lot of cash. So, I mean, this is the best background.
And infinite cash. It's big. Yeah. But, you know, if it's well used. Anyways, I don't think Libra is going to happen anytime soon, to be honest. It doesn't look like, you know, they're not going to make any move before the election. So, but yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. How would you, so we talked about this, and I think that is a threat we should take into account or should be aware of in a way, or just like be transparent about it. How would you say, knowing this, what will be a way, if you see us as planetarians, so one planet working together, how could it work? What would be a sustainable way to pull that off?
I mean, you know, if you look at the pyramid of Maslow, right, you know, you always have those, the five different pillars, and, you know, it goes from this, you know, infrastructure, psychological safety net towards your purpose at the end. And there's no doubt at this stage, we're not going to be able in the long run all to find, you know, have different jobs. So I think so the most important is really to start with a, you know, universal basic income. That's for me something that we should really impose. And maybe like companies like Amazon that's making so much money out of automation, to some extent Swissborg as well, but we're not making so much money right now, would have to pay a tax, right? You know, like, okay, you're running, you know, you're automating whatever, 35% of your job. Well, then you 35% that you're actually cutting out of people, you should maybe put a tax on it and pay, you know, instead of paying dividends to your investors, you're actually paying a tax form like that. You provide this universal basic income. And that for me is, if we remove this safety net, people change a lot. People think that we'll be lazy. I don't believe that it'll be so lazy. I think so if you have that safety net, then you could look into, you know, your belonging, your love, your self-esteem, and then hopefully your self-actualization. And I think so that is, you know, for me, and then to be honest, in Switzerland, we already have it. I mean, if you're at the IE, it's pretty much the same thing, which you get at least at 2,000 francs, it, you know, pays you at least the minimum. And then, you know, if they're educated in a good program, they could get to something. But if we're not going toward that direction, I'm quite pessimistic about the future, because a lot of countries are just, this gap is going to widen. It's just going to widen. There's no doubt. Or if people start to invest into, you know, their money. Essentially, that's something that people have to do, is invest in stocks, invest in crypto, invest in whatever different things, and take control of your wealth. Because, you know, people spend a lot of time looking at what's the best TV to buy on Amazon, but no one bought the stock of Amazon. And it's still a great stock to own. I'm pretty sure about that. And that TV, well, you know, probably next year it'll be 20% cheaper. Your stock will probably be 20% more expensive. So if you're doing that, you're buying a TV and a stock at the same time, maybe that's the way to do things. I don't know. But universal basic income, that's the one first good step. And the second step is just people have to start investing their money and not, you know, not let only the rich people buy houses and rent them out and buy stocks and make dividends out of it.
Good point. I totally agree. I think we almost come to an end, but what I really would like to know from you, if you could take one learning out of this, of this whole situation, what should it be for us, for humanity in a way?
Yeah, I think so. You know, over that is, you know, as I said, is that we have one planet Earth and that we really have to respect it. You know, if something happens on one side, it will always happen, you know, as karma will bring it to the other side. And, And I think so it comes as well to this great saying that I want to make it in the Big Apple and all those big cities. I've been quite pessimistic for the last 5-7 years about these big cities because, well, I don't live in a big city first. But the second part is that I don't see why the value should be created in such a confined area where real estate is so high and everything is so high. And you see it very much on, you know, a lot of smaller cities that there's a great innovation, there's great things happening. And even now, more importantly, last 3 months, we're all locked down. We're still able to work very efficiently. So would you rather have a beautiful view, which I'm seeing right now, the mountains and the lake, or have a crappy apartment in Brooklyn, you know, and taking a 2-hour commute to go to, you know, your high ivory tower? I don't think so. And I think so this pandemic will probably show that, you know, just go in a place which is nice and work in a distributed smart way, I think so.
Well, I like that. Perfect. Cyrus, thank you so much for our podcast.
You're more than welcome. It was really awesome, Matias.